Just, we want the children to come near the front because this is a special message for you guys. It's for everybody else, but come and sit in the front row. We want all, we've got prizes. There's a quiz in the middle of this. This is a message for the whole church, but it's very much a message for you guys. You could come see it. But the big thing is, can you see the screen? Either that one or the one behind me. The main things you want to be able to see really well. Brilliant. Well done, Tobias. Good to see you in the front row. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, you can probably see really well from there. Fantastic. Okay. And we want you to really listen because this is a brilliant, brilliant Bible story that Nick's going to share. And he's got an amazing extra story that he's going to throw in at the end.
Fantastic. Thank you for coming this morning. This is going to be a little bit Carroty Wood style. And so that means that the children will hopefully all listen because they're all such amazing listeners. And there are going to be some prizes for the questions I'm going to ask afterwards. So listen really carefully. But what normally happens is that the adults get as much out of the children's talk as the children too. So it's very much for everybody this, though it's going to be hopefully really, really simple. So who can tell me what is our theme for this season, for this autumn? Everyone has. Okay, that means that everybody, hands up if you're everybody. We're all everybody, aren't we? That means that we all have something. And that's what this is all about. It's an amazing story. And I'm going to tell you the story, two stories. One is a Bible story. And at the end, I'm going to do a little short story about a boy, an 11-year-old boy that I met in Kenya last week. And I've got his picture here. There he is. He's called William. Any Williams here? I see that hand. And the next boy is the boy with the loaves and the fishes. How many people know that story? The feeding of the 5,000. So listen carefully. There will be prizes for the right answers. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. And look at the pictures if you like, and a great crowd of people followed him. Why? Because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. A large crowd. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. And a large crowd, many of them pilgrims, on their way to the Passover feast in Jerusalem, watched the boat and followed it around the coast on foot to meet Jesus. And when Jesus looked up, he saw this great big crowd following him, coming towards him. And he said to Philip, he said, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, because he already had in his mind what he was going to do. So Philip said to him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy bread enough for everybody here, even to have a bite." How much is half a year's wages? Just imagine that you get paid £30,000 for a year's wages. What's half a year's wages? Who's good at maths? Half of 30,000, please. Yes? Yeah, nearly. Add another naught or so. Half of 30,000, anybody? Abby, yeah? Very good, 15,000. That's what it would have taken to feed that whole crowd. And he asked this, as I said, only to test him. Another one of his disciples, Andrew, said, he was Simon Peter's brother, he spoke up and he said, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many people?" Jesus said, "It's okay. Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, and what did he do? He gave thanks. Exactly. And he gave out to all those people seated around as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And when they'd all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. That's interesting. So they gathered them up. And they filled 12, are you listening, 12 basketfuls with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over from those who had eaten. And after the people saw this sign that Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Now, I've got some questions. I hope you've all been listening really well. Question number one, and I think Joe's got a little reward here for the good answers. Stick your hand up if you know the answer when I ask it. Why was the crowd following Jesus? Mina? No. Close. Close. They'd seen Jesus doing something. Jim? They'd seen Jesus healing the sick. There are so many sick people in this world. It's a great need, isn't it, in our lives. And they were following him because he was like their hospital. They were following Jesus. Number two, how many men were there in the crowd? You were first, Mina. 500, no. Oh, 5,000. Well done, Tobiah. Amazing. How many do you think there were, including the women and the children? This you can just guess, yeah? Well, if there was 5,000 men and we add to that the women and children, it's got to be more than 5,000. What do you think? 10,000, that'll do. Imagine that. So we doubled immediately, 10,000. Could well have been that. Why do you think Jesus wanted to feed them? Because they was hungry. But why did Jesus want to? That's why they wanted to eat, Maureen. But why did they, why did Jesus want to feed them?
Because they look very hungry.
They look very hungry. Yeah. And yeah, what do you think, Veronica?
Because he wanted to show them that he's Jesus, that he can do bigger miracles.
Amazing. It's because he wanted to do, he could do big things. He wanted to show them he could do miracles. And because he loved them. He loved them. And he saw they were hungry. He cared about their needs. How many loaves did the boy have? I think that's, I think Ori was first up there, Joe. Have you got the mic?
5 loaves.
5 loaves. And how many fish, anybody? I think that was somewhere, I think that was Abigail, actually, this one.
2 fish.
What did the disciples think about the boys' lunch? What did they, when they saw this, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, what do you think they thought? Tobiah, what do you think? It wasn't enough. Perfect. Very good. Great answer. What did Jesus do first when he took the boys' lunch? I think it was you, Bernie.
He gave thanks.
He gave thanks. There's a lesson for us there, isn't it? The first thing he did was he took it and he gave thanks to his Father. How often when you get your meal, your breakfast, how many of us gave thanks for breakfast this morning? Yeah? Some of you didn't have breakfast. I'm glad to hear that. You know, we there's so many, many things we could fill our whole days with being thankful, couldn't we? What did he do next? He gave thanks and then he... Mina? No, he didn't get more bread. Good idea. Yeah, Jim?
He shared it out.
So this miracle was all about him taking the boy's bread, and it just grew and grew and grew as he gave it out. I'm going to tell you a story in a minute about Kenya, where I happened to be last week. And the church started with just a couple in their home 40 years ago. And now that church has multiplied until they are looking after over 500 churches. And I said to them, to the guy, how many churches do you think you've got now? He said, I don't know, but it's over 500. And that's what happens when you keep on giving. You keep on sharing what you've got. Jesus multiplies it. Amazing. So that was the next thing. How much was each person allowed? Mike, Joe?
As much as they wanted.
As much as they wanted. What does that tell us about Jesus? That he wants to give us as much as we can take. That's incredible, isn't it? How many loaves and fish do you think that boy ate? Bit of a trick question. Well, it hasn't really got an answer. I think, yeah, Mina, you take this one.
10?
10. I like that answer. He started with 5 and 2 fishes, and he took 10. Is that what you would have done, Mina? I think Mina would have taken 10, don't you? So he ended up with double. He gave away what he got, and he didn't lose. He gained. That's an amazing lesson, isn't it? What did Jesus do with what was left over? I think you were first, Mina. You don't know. Berenike. What?
He collected so they wouldn't be wasted.
He collected so it wouldn't be wasted. Isn't that interesting? That Jesus, who is so abundant and could just feed 10,000 people like that, he still didn't want it to be wasted. And so there's that two sides of him. He doesn't want us to be wasteful, and yet he's abundant. There's got to be a lesson there, hasn't there? How many baskets of bread were left over? Yes, I think we got one here, please.
12.
Very good. We didn't need a mic there, did we? 12. 12 baskets full. And how many disciples did Jesus have? 12. Do you think Jesus was trying to teach them a lesson here? That they didn't really believe that he could do it. And so at the end, he went round and he got them all together what was left. And they had a basket each to take home. Almost to say, okay, I can do this. Amazing. What did this miracle make them think about Jesus?
Powerful.
That he's really powerful. They said, surely this is the prophet that is to come, that he was the Messiah, that he was the King of Kings. He was the one they were expecting to come. And I got one question more, which is really, really important. And I want everybody here to think about this question really deeply. Maybe this is the most important question of all. What do you have that Jesus can use? What do you have that Jesus can use? There's a few hands going up. I want us all to think about this. Maybe we could have some adult hands as well. What do you have? What has God given you that you could use? We're going to start with the children.
Love.
Love. Oh, how amazing. Who's got love? We've all got some, haven't we? How wonderful to give that away. Orioffi.
Yourself.
Wow. Okay. That's amazing, isn't it? That we can offer ourselves. How many of us this morning want to do that? This morning we have an opportunity to offer ourselves to Jesus. Joe?
Smile.
Love and smile.
Love and a smile. I once read a book when I was a child. It was called Where the Smile Went. And I thought when I read it, it was going to be about how the smile disappeared. But it's just about a child that smiled at a lonely old man and how that changed his life. And then he started to be nice to his family. Wow, a smile.
Singing?
Yes.
Singing, oh yes. Who can sing? Yes. We can sing for Jesus, can't we? We can have a merry heart, can't we? But also, if God's given you the gift of singing, you've got a good voice. We have people here this morning using their gift for Jesus. How many people here play a musical instrument? Do you play that instrument for yourself or for Jesus? He wants us to do these things for him. Yeah. Oh, here we go, Tobias.
Friendship.
Friendship. Friendship. Wow. How can you give friendship? How can Jesus use your friendship? Somebody tell me. At school? Can he use your friendship? What do you think, Mina? I think so. In the playground. Just imagine there's a lonely person there or somebody that's being bullied by others. Your friendship, what could that mean for that person? Say your neighbor who doesn't know Jesus and they don't know love, and you can just be their friend. I remember Joe had a girl who was a friend at university who was very, very mentally damaged. And the warden of the hall said to the Christians, could you try and befriend this person? And Joe went along with her Snoopy dog. And what did Ali have? A teddy bear, I think it was. And they just got to know each other at that level. And this girl became the most radiant Christian I have ever seen. She really did. It was astonishing. But it started by using friendship, the gift of friendship. Anybody else? Anybody else of the adults think of something you've got that Jesus could use? Oh, you're not doing very well, adults. Yes? Our time. Wow. Absolutely. Our time. Is Jesus going to use our time if we don't give it to him? Nobody can say you've got more time than me. We've all got the same amount of time. How much of that could be used to Jesus? Anything else you've got? I'd like to think. Anything? Yeah?
I would say kindness.
Kindness, yeah, in small ways and big ways as well. I'm going to throw in something else here, money. We all have money, and Jesus can use that money. I reflected when I went to Kenya this week that actually, if people hadn't given, I wouldn't have been able to go. And so the giving of that, if I was a blessing at all to anybody that I met out there, it was because other people had given their money to do that. That's just a little example, but there's so many ways that God can use our money. Yes? A house, a home, your flat. Have we given it to Jesus that he can use for others? Okay, we're going to pray in a moment, but before that, can I just tell you the story about the 11-year-old boy I met out in Kenya last week? Do you want to hear about him? It's an amazing story. Got a picture of him here. He's called William. And I took that picture. He was wandering around in a field. He was employed by someone called a herdsman. And actually, in another picture I've got, you can actually see the cattle that he was looking after. When he was 7 years old, I'm going to ask you some questions about this boy as well. When he was 7 years old, his father said to him, "Get out of my house." And he had to run from his house. And he didn't know where to go. And somebody found him. And the person who found him was a herdsman who had flocks of cattle. And you can see them wandering around in this wilderness. And so he took him in and he said, "You can look after my cattle." Because of that, he lost 4 years of schooling, and here he was. And I just thought he was a local guy hanging around the church. And the people I was with, there's Edward here and his wife, they met him. And I want you to think, when I tell you the rest of this story, what did Edward and Frida, his wife, give to Jesus that day? Question number two, what difference did it make? And what if they hadn't given Jesus what they had? And here's the boy wandering around in the field there. And there's the cattle you can see. And at the beginning of the day, he had no idea what was going to happen. It was just one day like any other day. And he saw this car hanging around by the church. And he thought, "Well, I'll leave my cattle for a while. I'll just go over and see what's happening here." And when he got to the well and they're trying to give to the communities, and they dug a well in that wilderness that goes down 200 meters to bring water up, goes down into the Rift Valley in Kenya, and they're causing the communities to flourish by doing that. And there's Edward standing there on the left, and Frieda, his wife, in the middle. And here's William just wandering across. I was just taking a picture of the well when I saw this, and I realized afterwards that I got a whole story here. And there he is talking with Edward and Frieda. And as he's talking to them, you can see actually he's wiping away the tears. That he just started to cry because they asked him a question. They said to him, "Why aren't you in school today?" And he said, "Because I'm employed." And they said, "What do you mean you're employed? You should be in school." And he said, "Well, I had to run away from my home, and I'm employed by this herdsman." And this is true of many other boys and girls in Kenya as well. It's called child labor. It's really almost slave labor. And so Edward, who gave him his time, and they just prayed with him, and he prophesied over him, and he said, "This day your destiny is going to change, and you will be one day you will be a man of God." And hope started to light up in this boy's eyes. And then next picture, please. We got back into the car. Edward himself was weeping at this point because he had been brought up in poverty in Kenya as well. And he cared deeply about this. And the next day what happened, by the end of the day, somebody had offered to pay for 4 years of that boy's schooling. The next day, Frieda got in touch with the mother. She found the mother, and he was reunited with his mum. And then the next day in church, we had their church leaders. I told you they look after 500 churches. Well, they had 2,000 church leaders. And at the end of the morning, Edward said, "I met this boy yesterday called William, and he'd missed 4 years of education because of child labor. This should never happen in our country. It's illegal." And he said to the leaders, "When you see this happening in your area, do something about it." And you saw the church as the salt of the earth, as the light of the world, making a difference in the whole nation just through one encounter with one boy. Can you imagine how he feels today? His life's been changed because of that encounter with Edward and Frieda. So back at last to the three questions. What did Edward and Frieda have to give? Bernie.
Time and Jesus.
They had time. They gave him, they were present to him. They weren't so busy looking at this well. When he came up, they took time. And they had Jesus. Wow, you're there in one, Berenika. What did they give? What did they give? They gave their time. They gave Jesus. They had both those things, but they chose to give them. What difference did it make? Somebody else. What difference did it make to that boy? Raywin? He went home. Gave him hope. Gave him an education. Reconciled. What difference did that make to the nation? It made a difference, didn't it? It will make a difference. And we're sitting in that car, and Mike Betts is there, and he said, "Please, let's use the pictures, because I want to go back to England, and we want to raise money for many other children like William." It was a loaves and fishes moment. It was amazing. And last of all, what if they hadn't given Jesus their loaves and fishes, their time? What if they hadn't done that? They thought that this day, "Oh, so tired today. I can't be bothered. What's this boy doing?" What if they hadn't done that? Somebody tell me. Children, where would that boy be today? Mina. No. Good try. He'd still be working. He'd still be with the cattle, wouldn't he? But it made a difference because they gave what they had. Let's pray, shall we? Can we all just stand, children, adults, all of us? Let's think about it. What have we got to give to Jesus? Let's close our eyes, all of us. Children, I want you to close your eyes now and just think, what can I give to Jesus? Is it music? Is it my sport? Is it my time? Is it my friendship? Is it my love, which is the first thing? What have I got to give to Jesus? Let's hold out our hands, shall we, if you want to give those things to Jesus this morning. Jesus, we thank you for what you gave to us. Thank you, you gave us your time. You gave us your life. You gave us so much, Lord. We just want to give you our lives today, that you could make a difference in this world. Take it, Lord, and use it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. You listened so well.
I love that story, the boy, loaves and fishes, because it's such a powerful miracle that happens, but it's over that pivotal point where Jesus just simply gives thanks. It says he gave thanks and then he distributed. The miracle happened. And giving thanks is something that we can all do. We can all take stock of what we have and give thanks. That's where it starts. So just going forward this week, just be encouraged just to give thanks. Maybe start your day by just giving thanks for what you have. Bringing what you have to Jesus by giving thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You are our living hope, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. There is no other name by which we can be saved apart from yours, Lord. There is no other work that has been done to save mankind that has any power other than yours, Lord, to save, to restore, Lord, to renew, Lord God, and to reconcile us back to God. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thanks for coming, guys. Feel free to have some refreshments at the back and chill.
Yeah. Enjoy the baptisms tonight. Thank you all.